Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 77 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Empoli at the San Siro, which finishes 2-0 to the hosts. Goals from Federico Di Marco in the 6th minute and Alexis Sanchez in the 81st minute. Inter still top of the table after 30 rounds on 79 points, 14 points ahead of second place Milan. Can't even see Juventus at this point. And three points after it's been a weird like month or so in the Inter world. So we're gonna get all into it. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. And Gianni, before we get into the game, I just want to ask you how Simone Frenia is doing. I see that he's been quite active. I don't know if he's reached out to you to, you know, we're heading towards the summer transfer window, so there's a lot going on. Have you spoken with Simone? Any new news to report?
Yeah. No, Simone Frenia and I have we've been in contact nonstop throughout this international break. There is rumblings of a potential, you know, partnership with Interviews Pod, where he'll have a segment on here and be able to talk transfers. But he broke some big news about Riccardo Calafiori this week. So
wow,
made its rounds.
Yeah, I a lot of Interisti, you know, probably didn't have the greatest couple weeks, but Gianni had a lot of fun these last few weeks.
I had so much. I also didn't think it would take off like that. I really did.
Yeah. I mean, it's just shocking. It actually isn't shocking how people use this app and what they will believe and what they'll choose to get upset about. It's pretty funny. But if you guys haven't seen, I would definitely head over to @SimoneFrenia and check out what's been going on over there, because Johnny's been having a lot of fun.
And then I do got to give a shout out to Azuri Extra and Tony, because had he not put out that tweet about Riccardo Calafiori and his appearances with the U21 team or U23, I forget which side it was, but one of those sides, I would not have taken that photo and done that tweet. So shout out Tony.
Shout out Tony, a good friend of Interviews Pod. All right, let's get into this this match. So before we talk about all the events,
about the match, yeah, I do want to bring up one thing that I did today in regards to this match, and I am very upset with the outcome of it. I think I'm going to be a little bit more critical about this match because I went 1-for-5 on my parlay with this Inter match.
Oh no. What'd you take?
One shot on goal for Thuram, one shot on goal for Barella, one shot on goal for Lautaro, which hit. Lautaro anytime goal scorer, and over 2.5.
So shot on goal has to be on goal. It doesn't count as a
It doesn't count if it's just shot.
That's tough. I mean, you would think Empoli is the kind of opposition where you can rack up those
numbers, and you would think Lautaro anytime goal scorer, perfect.
So you're going to be reacting with your wallet here today.
I'll be reacting with my wallet today. Yeah.
All right.
And this is the first time, I'll be honest, the first time I've ever I would purposely never bet on Inter because I don't want it to affect my mindset. And I was like, oh, this is Empoli though. I'll do it with Empoli. Terrible idea. Terrible.
I've actually never bet Inter specifically because I am a superstitious person and I don't want to give any of my bad gambling juju to the team. I don't want to give that away. So
I'm going to take your lead from now on when it comes to Inter and never do that again.
I can't. I won't even allow my friends to bet on Inter
do the Dolphins. I won't bet on actually, that's a lie. I'll do Raheem Mostert anytime touchdowns, but I won't do the Islanders ever. I won't do the Dolphins like money lines or anything. Never. And which is the other?
Which is another definite no go for me.
Oh, and any NBA. That's it.
But yeah.
Anyway,
too volatile, too close to it. But anyway, so this match, I mean, we've had to deal with the fallout from the Champions League exit. We've had to, which we've talked about. We've had to deal with the Acerbi situation, which we'll talk about a little bit here. We've had to deal with ownership, you know, issues with Oaktree and, you know, what's going to be the future of Inter. There's just been a lot of noise around this team. And then, of course, the international break comes. You know, a couple of our players get nicked up, and it's just, it has not been very good vibes for a little bit of time here. This game, we get the 3 points. It wasn't the prettiest 90 minutes. Given everything that's happened recently, still have a 14-point lead on top of Serie A, still have a 20-plus point lead over Juventus. How do you feel after this game? Do you feel like just as a fan, do you feel like you're back in? Like, now that we've got the, you know, first good news in a while, like, we can start the hype train so that we can end this season on a high? Or are you still, you know, a little out of it based on everything that's happened?
Listen, the result is great. You get the 3 points. You feel good about that. You're able to keep your 14-point lead on Milan. That's always a good thing. The thing I didn't like personally was the performance. It did feel a little flat as a fan. You expect long break. I get some guys had to travel from South America and different parts. You know, so it's not like I was expecting an absolute drubbing, but you think that you're going to be able to take care of an Empoli side that is a little thin on talent, that sold its best player in January. You know, you would expect to be able to take care of them easily. Now, they didn't really have anything threatening. Audero had a pretty relatively easy game himself, which is good for us as Interisti because we didn't want to see him really tested. I can only think of that one long range shot in the first half that he made a fantastic save on. That was really like
the Marin shot.
Yeah, that I was actually concerned about. That was probably the only one that I was like, oh wow, this is, you know, a little scary. But as a whole, I'm left wondering, like, especially with our strike partnership, you know, Thuram doesn't look himself lately. He really doesn't. A lot of things seem to be missing from his game. His touch seems off. His awareness and especially spatial awareness doesn't seem like it's up to snuff lately. And even Lauti seemed, although he was getting chances, it just didn't feel like they were dangerous chances. Maybe the first one that Caprile saved, which was like the beautiful cross in. Oh, Nicolo Barella, by the way. Yeah. That put it right on his head and he just put it. I mean, Caprile made a fantastic save. So can't really fault Lauti or, you know, anyone else there. So, but I just was left wanting more. This is not, again, happy with the result. We needed 3 points. And I think that kind of like eases pressure. And maybe that's just what we needed to kind of kickstart coming out of the break and then be able to get on a good run again. But I was just hoping for a little bit more, personally.
So I agree with everything that you say and that you've said, you know, expectations that we should do better against, we should have a good game against the Empoli side, despite the fact that it's been a little bit of a break. These guys have played together for several seasons now. It's not, you know, they can be away from each other for a week and a half and still be able to get into the feeling. It wasn't a ton of travel for our guys. Our guys did get good amounts of minutes across all the international matches, but, you know, the sluggish nature, I guess you can pin it on the international break, but I think that there's other things going on here. First, I just want to touch on Empoli for a second, because if you just look at the table, you think, you know, this team is trash, which they're not. They're not a good team in terms of talent by any stretch of the imagination. But there's a couple things to note. One, Davide Nicola comes in and he's solidified them quite a bit. This is a team that in January, they destroyed Monza. They tied Juventus. They tied Genoa, who we struggled against. They beat Salernitana. They tied Fiorentina. And then in their last three, that was all like in, you know, January, February. In their last three matches, in the last two matches prior to Inter, Milan beat them 1-0. That's all. At San Siro. Bologna beat them away from home, just 1-0. All right. If you saw what Bologna has done this weekend, you know, they've built a commanding lead in fourth place. They're looking good for the Champions League, and Motta has that team playing really well. Milan has come on. They're playing some of their best football of the year. Really solidifying that second spot.
Those only teams, took them 30 games, but I'm sure.
Only took them 30 games, but those teams barely got by Empoli. So as far as the Empoli factor, I do think that it's important to note that, right?
They keep getting new coach bumps, though. Like, we had to face them when Andrea Zoli came back, and that wasn't easy. It took literally a DeMarco Wonder goal to beat them that time. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they are, because of where they are in the standings. Like I said, and you said it too, just terms of talent, it shouldn't have been a problem.
I agree with you in the expectation that we should have blown this team away. But I do think it is important to note that, like, they've been defensively compact. Like, at least he's saying, fuck the fact that we don't have any talent. We'll at least tighten things up. And even with all that, Inter created a lot of chances today. Here's what I think is happening. Every team in the league at some point is, during the league season, at some point is going to have a dip in form, a slowdown in results. We haven't experienced that throughout the entirety of the league year. This is a shitty time for it to be happening because we are so close to the title that you just want to wrap it up. But our performance is dropping. It is indicative of something that we typically would be accustomed to seeing in most years in January. Like, that's usually when Inter starts taking the dip, right? Where we start to lose form and not look good. I saw a team today that their motivation is different. It's changed, right? Like, they're not playing the same way that they were when they had Juventus on their heels, where they were like in it to win it. Now this lead has built up so much, and we're so like, the chances of us blowing this are so outrageous. I think it's affected the motivation, and they're almost, you see the games look like we have these moments of brilliance, and then we just want to sit, take our foot off the gas and relax a little bit and not really push and go for it. And then when we feel like we need to turn it on, we turn it on. Am I wrong? Do you see like a team that has a mentality issue or like an energy issue compared to what we've previously seen?
I don't think the mentality's changed. I think the energy has changed. I don't think that they're not putting 110% into every match because they kind of already feel like we can coast in this league. I think the mentality is there when they do feel pressure, in the sense that, like, when they're backed into a corner, they'll be willing to fight their way out of it. But, you know, I did see, like, even like, let me, if you look at the Atletico game, they were still fighting, you know, when we went down, and unfortunately things didn't play out the way we would have liked, but it is what it is. So I think if, like, seeing this run of games, these next couple games between Udinese and Cagliari, I kind of foresee, personally, and I hope I'm wrong, I could see it playing out the same way, though, where they just, you know, win 1-0, 2-1, 2-0, whatever it may be. But because they just don't feel like there's much else to play for. Then when it comes to the derby, we'll see them, you know, snap back into it. Because I think that game is, you know, they're always going to wake up for that and always going to want to show up for that. But,
and it is potentially like the title
clinching game. Yeah, I mean, and if you have a chance to clinch the title, of course you're going to want to go for it, you know, especially against your rivals in the stadium that you share. Like, wouldn't that be something? Like, I hope I'm wrong. Like I said, I don't want to see like this kind of like lackadaisical, where like
I would say the first 5-6 minutes we came out, I was thrilled with the way we were playing. And then once we grabbed the lead, it's almost like we're like, easy, we don't have to try anymore.
Right.
Like, that's it. And I don't want that. I don't know if that's just from the players on the pitch. I don't know if that's like something that Inzaghi's kind of instilled in them. I don't want to say it's Inzaghi. I don't think that he's that type of person. I just feel like that these guys, and I hope I'm wrong, but I just feel like they're not motivated anymore once they get it in and they're like, we're Inter. That's it. No one's gonna come, you know, for us.
And that's, I think you have that's to what I think is happening.
Yeah, and I think you have to get out of that, because if you keep this going the rest of the year, and then that carries into next season with the Champions League, as much as we as fans respect Inter and think that we are the best team in Europe, and I still think that if we were in the Champions League right now, we would be playing harder, and I think that we would be the best team left. I mean, team. Yes, there's player teams with better talent individually at certain positions, but I think as a team, I think we would be the best team left in the tournament. I don't think that other teams fear us the way we as fans think they fear us. Does that make sense?
I think other managers probably fear Inter because they know that Inzaghi has shown a tactical masterclass this season, but I do think that sort of luster has worn off after the Champions League exit.
For sure. Yeah, I would agree with you there. I just don't want this to be a thing that kind of carries over. That's all like I really care about. Like, I really think that we got the second star. Now next year I want the Champions League. Like, I really do. And I really think that, listen, 2 years ago, or not 2 years, last season was a fantastic run for us. But if we look at it from a non-biased standpoint, we did have a lot of things play out for us perfectly. More, and I'm meaning really in terms of the way the bracket kind of played out for us. Because I think had we been on the opposite side, it would have been a much harder journey to get to the final than it was where we were. Now, you do have to play who's in front of you. Like, that's how it goes. I mean, you know, if we got Copenhagen in the first round like City did, I would think we have an easy route to the final too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. I'm not blaming or saying that we only got there by luck. That's not what I'm saying. I just think we had things play out the way that you would want. This year, unfortunately, we probably had the hardest round of 16 matchup than any team really had.
Without I don't think question. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I think if we got Arsenal, if we got Porto, if we got whoever else, I think we'd have an easier route to the final too. So it is what it is. You do need a little bit of luck on your side when it comes to the Champions League. And I just hope that this team doesn't let the disappointment of this season in that tournament carry over into next season. And I don't want them to take their foot off the gas now, because there's still objectives to play for. Most points, most clean sheets, like, which we kept the clean sheet today. Fantastic. But I mean, we know Sommer wanted to kind of try to go today. I think he wanted to keep that streak going too, because he has an opportunity to break that record, and to do it in your first year in Serie A would be amazing. So I'm hoping that that he can do it.
Yeah, and this, you know, it gets into the territory of like some of the conversations that we're going to have this summer around like what should the objective be next year? Like, is it going to be continue to dominate at home, or is it going to be given Zaghi sort of the deeper squad that he needs in order to make another deep Champions League run? It's going to be, we'll have those conversations. For now, I think, you know, we stick to what's directly ahead of us. I had one other question for you. Do you think that there's value to switching up the lineup a little bit and start playing guys like Carlos Augusto and Fratesi? To add, like, those guys have been part of the bench this season, right? For this run-in towards the end of the title, like, I'm sort of caught between two worlds where it's like, respect the guys that got you here, but also those guys are kind of taking their foot off the gas, whereas, like, Augusto and Fratesi are two that need to, like, show Inzaghi something right now. Do you think there's any value in our performances by playing some of these guys that really need these minutes, or do you sort of, you know, ride the team that got you here and see it out with them?
I think you need to do the rotation and let some of these guys get in and start from minute one. I think that that also kind of reminds guys that their position isn't guaranteed, that they still have something to play for and they have to earn being in the starting 11. It's not a gift. Augusto, I mean, listen, he was great today. Always solid defensively. You don't have to really worry about him in terms of defense. I was a little disappointed when he came on, only because I feel like that, like, at that point in the match, it was 1-0. And to me, it's like to me, it looked like you were giving Empoli too much respect. I would have rather have kept Di Marco, and honestly, I keep doing it. I keep saying I just want to see Tejan get more minutes, and I think that he could have brought a nice little wrinkle in attack to this team. We were able to find so much space to run into. If Buchanan had some of the space that Di Marco had on the left side, that ball that Lautaro played in the second half, that was perfectly played. I think if Buchanan's on the left, Di Marco unfortunately had to go further left with the ball and got, you know, cleared by the defender. I think Buchanan would have been able to beat the man for pace and bring it on his right foot and curl it far post. But we'll never know. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I want him in my perfect world, whether it's Cagliari, whether it's maybe not Udinese so much, but maybe against the Cagliari. I would like to see Augusto as a left center back, Buchanan as a left wing back, and then you could put Dumfries as the right wing back and Fratesi in for Mkhitaryan. That would be my perfect world, which is not going to happen. But again, I think that you need to show these guys that Mkhitaryan had another game today where I just wasn't really impressed with anything. I feel like he misplayed a lot of passes. I'm sure you're going to pull up the stats and you're going to tell me he completed 96% of his passes and I'm going to be dumbfounded again. But I just, some of these guys don't feel like they have to worry about anybody else taking their place. And that is a dangerous spot for any team. You don't want that type of mentality, no matter what the sport is, really.
Yeah, no, I think there's benefits to switching up the lineup a little bit. And we talked about, is it a mental thing? Is it motivation? Or is it more so energy? And I think just from an energy standpoint, like, it would be good to get Fratesi in there a little bit, Tejan in there a little bit. You know, Pavard hasn't necessarily done anything to lose his spot, but even to see guys like Bisek in there, you know, I definitely don't need more Alexis or Arnautovic at this point, but no, you know, regardless, no. It's I do think that there's a benefit to changing the energy. I'm going to be, you know, in Milan for Cagliari, you know, fairly shortly. Like,
hopefully you bring some of that Buchanan juju with you, man. You know,
I want, as much as I want to see the guys that brought us here, like, I'm also interested in, like, you know, I want to have a little fun. Like, I hope they can snap out of the doldrums, essentially. Listen, I'm feeling better about this. I'm feeling better about this whole situation after what's been a real shit month. But I do, you know, based off today, like, you know, it's the energy is not 100% back. But anyway, let's dive into this game. So Inter takes the lead 5 minutes in. Bastoni drills a low cross into Di Marco in the box, and he hits it one time right past Caprile for a really, really awesome goal. I just described it based off the ticker, but I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so Johnny can actually see this here.
What do you think? I didn't watch the game.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, we'll talk through it as we're watching.
Gentlemen,
as we're watching,
I didn't watch.
No, we'll talk through it. So Di Marco, again, like, the numbers as a wing back are staggering this season. He's been great.
Bro, should I dye my hair blonde?
It's getting blonder, no?
Should I just go full Di Marco and just get like a, it's like a mohawk mullet kind of.
Yeah.
And just dye it platinum blonde?
I'm thinking about it too, man. It's starting to go on me. Every trip to the barber is getting worse and worse. You know what I mean?
Me too, bro. Like,
it's,
I mean,
tougher and tougher.
I'm starting to get that Di Marco look myself without the dyed hair.
Pavard plays in Thuram. Oh, we didn't see the switch of play. What was more impressive for you, the Bastoni delivery into Di Marco or the finish?
It's so tough. It really is. Bastoni is so good at crossing. He really is. And I've said it a million times. I don't have, going forward as a center back, there is nobody better in the world. When somebody said, there was a Liverpool fan who like put a tweet out saying like, who passes or crosses better than Trent Alexander-Arnold? And I just quote you with a gif of Bastoni, like, end the story. It's Bastoni with the ball. So, but that, to hit that one time, I don't think a lot of people understand when a ball's being crossed into you, ideally as a right footer, that's perfect. You want it to come from your left because it's a little bit easier to be able to like either open up and get your right foot in, or if you want to strike it cleanly on the volley, you can still do it a little bit easier with your right. To get it like the way Di Marco did on his left foot, which is his dominant foot, but be able to like time that so brilliantly. I could think of I don't even remember how many times, but Icardi would get balls like that to his right foot, like near cross, whether it was from Candreva or other, and he would just whiff it. So to hit it as cleanly as Di Marco did right there, I got to give the edge, and it's a slight edge, to Di Marco because of the degree of difficulty to hit that perfectly one time like that. Fede, what a beautiful goal. I mean, that connection that Bastoni and Di Marco have, like, it's almost like if you were, let's say a team wanted to buy one, you have to buy both to really get the best out of it. There was rumors that, you know, Man U wanted Di Marco. Great. Well, he's not going to do anything if you don't have Bastoni with him and you switch your formation. So it's, I mean, listen, I never want either one of them to leave. But man, yeah, I got to give the slight edge to Di Marco myself. What do you think?
I'll give it. Damn.
You're going to do it.
You made a good ass argument. I'm going to give it to Bastoni. I'll give it on the other end, but you did make a good ass argument. I love the way Bastoni started this game, and you know, his energy for most of the game was really, really good. Like, he wanted to be involved. He was involved a lot. Like, not a lot a came ton. Off for him.
I mean, he got very unfortunate. Yeah, I was going to say with that shot.
Yeah. Unfortunate with the shot. He missed like a good ball in by just a little bit. But most of it was extremely dangerous. I actually really like what I saw from him. Man, was he pissed when he got pulled out in the 77th minute.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Him and Lauti were both, we'll talk about the subs, but they were both pissed, which I don't think is anything. I just think it's like
guys that wanted they wanted to finish it. I think they felt that they were so close themselves to getting on the score sheet that You want to score. You want to be able to feel like you had more of an impact in the match. And to some guys, it is by getting on the score sheet. I mean, look at Benji Pavard. Any chance that he had to shoot, he was taking the shot today. And I loved it. Like, I want him to get his first goal finally. So I think those guys just really wanted to be out there, of course, and to be able to finish it off and you know, potentially be on the score sheet. But I don't think it's anything that we have to worry about per se. Yeah. So
I just looked at the clock here. We got to do a quick pod. So let's breeze through the rest of this. Yeah. I mean, you guys watched the game, you know what happened. So the rest of the first half after that, like, there were some good patterns of play. Like, Inter was playing, but we definitely dropped off after the goal, and Empoli, you know, like Johnny said at the beginning of the pod, they didn't create anything today. It was just more so like how much we were letting them come into the game. You know, not much, but we still kind of had a drab end to the first half. Second half kicks off and it's really more of the same, except, you know, Empoli had a little bit more say in the game, I would say. I'm looking over these highlights here. Let's see. Di Marco switches to find... No, Mkhitaryan switches to find Di Marco. Low crawl. Okay. The Barella miss.
where Mkhitaryan swings it over to DeMarco. DeMarco plays it across the box. Barella gets it, one times it. Or actually controls it and then...
Did he control? Yeah, I think you're right. I think he did control it and then he shoots it wide left, or his left and the goalie's right. Yeah, you have to get that on target. I don't care who you are. It was a disappointing shot for a lot of reasons. Obviously, as an Interista, you know, and being like Barella's biggest fan, I was very disappointed. You know, I expect better, you know, especially after the way he performed at the, I was going to say at the Euros and the friendlies, for the international friendlies. It was a tough one for sure. But I mean, I don't know why he's able to do the more difficult things for the national team. And when he comes back home to Inter, it's almost like we get a different player sometimes. I think in every other aspect, he was great today. I really have no complaints with his passing, the effort, the temperament, everything. You know, it just felt really good from him. It was just the final product was a little missing, but
it happens. The angle of the shot was not like super easy. He did have a guy in front of him. Like
I don't know. I agree that he could have done better,
but it was, yeah. If you look at the replay and the angle, like if he went straight on, he would have drilled it into the defender in front of him. So he tried to drag it to the keeper's right.
Yeah.
But that margin, that window was, you know, super, super tight. And he just didn't get it right. Again, like that might be the thing that, oh my God, Johnny just showed off.
Huh?
Just brought up his new Italia kit with the Barella on the back.
It's actually beautiful. It really is. It's so nice, so light. I wore it to the Charlotte FC game because I wasn't. I mean, I just wanted to wear it, but I love. But
yeah,
since you can't find an Inter kit that well, at least it has a sponsor that's authentic here. I went with the Italian one because I was like, you know, I'm not going to worry about it.
You got to share that on Twitter. Story of Barella season.
When I'm not suspended.
Are you suspended right now?
Yeah, I don't even know what happened. I don't know. It's because of like one of those tweets got reported, like with the made up quotes.
Oh shit. Okay.
But it was like I went to go tweet something else, and it's like, oh yeah, you're suspended for another 11 hours and something. I'm like, oh, for what?
Damn.
It didn't even tell me what I had to delete or change something.
No, I don't know. It's not. It's just people reporting. You assholes. Okay. Anyway, a lot of those this season from Barella that I'm sure he's going to want back. The game keeps going. We do have a little like 1-2 on the edge of the area that DeMarco ends up playing in. Was it DeMarco or it might have been Pavard? Cut the ball back to Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan puts it over.
On the right side, it was Pavard. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
You're right. It was DeMarco. DeMarco had the left-footed cross low there.
Some reason I thought it was DeMarco.
No, you're right. It was DeMarco is what I meant. Like, he had it on his left foot there.
Yeah.
And was able to put it in. And it was Mkhitaryan probably killed a bird, I think, with the way he missed the net there. Which has been common for him, so.
We weren't like peppering a ton on goal that was super dangerous, but it was stuff like Aslani shooting right at the keeper, and we were creating chances, but it wasn't overly impressive aside from like, you know, very, very few moments, which we probably covered all of them. But things change in the 81st minute. Alexis Sanchez gets yet another goal that he almost missed, but somehow found a way to put it in the back of the net. Your nightmare combination, a Dumfries assist to an Alexis goal. to kill things off. I will give credit.
Dumfries, that was a perfectly played ball.
Yeah.
I said if Sanchez had, because he did like mishit that ball, and it just literally just, he put enough on it that it was able to like scuff into the net. But my goodness, if he missed that, I don't think he would have been able to play ever again.
Ball hit him instead of trying to play the ball. It was weird.
I don't even know if he... I honestly don't even know what I would call that. I'm looking at it right now. And yeah, that's rough. But yes, great, great played ball by Denzel Dumfries. I mean, that's the... it's a shame that you're not getting those kinds of passes anymore from Darmian. That used to be a common thing for him. Lately, at least this season, it feels like he's offensive game for sure. I mean, we've talked about it in the past. It just seems like it's really regressed. You know, I had a Juventino telling me that Andrea Cambiasso is already better than him. I think he has a little bit more to prove before you could actually say that he's better than Darmian. In regards to the national team, but I will say that this is probably Darmian's worst season in an inter kit, which isn't by any means saying it's a bad year. It just, I think, in terms of the offensive output, it hasn't really been what we've been accustomed to with him. So it's a kind of a shame. Thank goodness Dumfries has been. It's funny, he has better impact coming off the bench, I would say, than starting.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I would completely agree. I think some of his best performances have been off the bench, where we didn't have to see him for the full 90. You can kind of enjoy him for what he is.
Even though he dislocated his hip today on the edge of the 18 there.
He's been getting caught in between.
I don't know what he's trying. Is he trying stepovers? He's gonna hurt himself trying to think he's something he isn't.
He's trying to dart to the outside and then come back inside, but he's like getting caught in between.
It's almost like
his brain can't handle what he's trying to do.
It's like Cuadrado tells him, like, "Hey, this is how I do it. You should try this."
He's like, "Oh shit, now I'm here.
Now I don't know what to do." He's like almost like forgot the entire lesson that he got from Cuadrado. So
I thought he almost tore his ACL today when he was trying to do that move. It looked like a non-contact injury.
Honestly, I burst out laughing. Not because I thought he was hurt, but because I was like, what just happened? Like, what was that?
He at least gives us memorable moments. Real quick on your Darmian point, it has to definitely be the last season where he is considered for getting a bulk or a majority of the minutes at right wing back. I know this year it would have been Denzel had he not got hurt for that extended period of time, but that him going down, basically Darmian played way too much, way, way too much.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping there's either an investment or Tejan takes that right wing back spot and he's not used as a left wing back because it was too much for him this year. He's not that player anymore. He's not that player anymore.
Completely.
But anyway. All right. So Inter gets to 2-0, and then the game is, you know, we saw it out. Not the most riveting 90 minutes. If you're going back to rewatch it, you know, you might want to just check out the highlights because it wasn't the most riveting. But
And make it like the short ones, not the extended highlights, because
you don't want to hit the 14-minute one. You want to go to the 3.5-minute one.
Yeah, 3.5 minutes. That's literally all that really happened in this game. So.
Yeah. So there's two things that I want to get to. So I think the way that we should do it, given our time here, is that let's pick one performance from each position group to go over instead of talking about every single person, and then let's talk about a substitution idea that Inzaghi had, and then let's talk about Acerbi and Bastoni.
A substitution idea that he had.
I'll get into it. All right, let's talk. You want to talk Lauti, Thuram, or Alexis?
Let's talk Thuram.
Okay. Thuram, for me, first half was actively looking to get into position to get on the end of stuff, which he did a lot. Pavard found him a few times. Like, he was moving a lot, but it seemed like as he was getting into the box, like, he flubbed a couple shots, he flubbed a couple passes. Like, he was just, it seemed like his end product, or maybe he was second guessing himself. Today was not his day from like a mental standpoint. He was putting himself in good positions, but how he finished those actions, something looked off with him. That was my read on Thuram today.
I don't even think he was getting in good positions. I thought he was really like all over the place. I was very disappointed with him. it's something that I'm honestly like a little concerned with. Like, is he fading? Is he still, you know, nursing an injury that we're not too aware of? Like, he doesn't look like himself. And the things that I remember most from him were there were Barella played in a cross that he got on the end of with his header, and he headed it like straight up in the air. I almost am curious how he even did that, because I felt like it would have been harder to head it straight in the air than actually put it on goal, but it is what it is. And he got in the way of a couple of, you know, shots, one by Pavard, and I think the other one was with Hakan. And yeah, it feels like almost like that him and Lauti don't have the same chemistry that they had, as you know, even earlier in the season, even up to, you know, a few months ago. So it's something to keep an eye on for sure, in my opinion. I hope that this isn't like a trend that continues for sure, but we'll see.
He did miss several games with an injury. He did come back into, you know, the Champions League game, and ultimately, you know, it didn't look great. And there's been bad vibes around it. I think, like, ultimately, you can say, again, this is, you're speculating, but this has probably been the hardest season of his career from a pressure standpoint. Number one, Serie A, full campaign in Serie A is, I think, harder than in the Bundesliga.
Mönchengladbach isn't pressure?
Yeah, it's you're dealing with a different set of circumstances, you know. He's
Mönchengladbach is easy. Oh, okay.
He's been more involved with the French national team. So yeah, I think it's first season in Serie A, kind of adjustment. And
okay. No, I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah. All right, from the midfield, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, Mkhitaryan, Aslani, and Fratesi, who do you want to talk about?
Bro, there's only one guy to talk about.
He was good.
Nicolò Barella.
Yeah, he played good today. He was in a little mood, you know? He was trying to do some flicks and some things. Some back heels,
yeah,
and
no,
some
he
movements.
Was, yeah, he was... I was loving it. I was loving it. The only thing that was missing was the final product. Like, his shot was a little off. The crosses were good. The passing was on point. You know, when he would lose the ball, he wouldn't huff and puff. He would actually just chase that man down and kind of force him in either into a bad spot or to make a bad pass. So yeah, very happy with Barella's performance. I kind of, you know, I'm really looking forward to how he ends the season. I'm also becoming I feel like long haired Barella is a bit of a baller. You know
what happened? Because it didn't look like that several months ago.
I mean, he went to the same doctor that Klaassen went to, for sure.
That guy,
I might have to go to
a raise immediately.
Like, whoever that doctor is, I might need to ask Barella, yo, like, who did you go to? Who is this guy?
Yeah. Well, I'll ask him. I'll ask him at the stadium.
Yeah, when you're there, let me know. Let me know what he says.
Yeah, he's got a different flow to him. He was definitely the best midfielder today, best energy. I mean, while we're on it, let's talk about some of these stats. 66 out of 69, 96% passing accuracy, 7 chances created, 4 for 4 successful dribbles, 11 passes into the final third.
What up?
2 for 2 tackles won, 5 recoveries.
You hearing this?
9 duels won.
Are you hearing this?
He's
hitting you with facts.
By all measures, he was very good.
Not only did he pass the eye test, but then he passes the stat test.
Yeah.
The guy was unbelievable.
He was.
There's a reason he's, in my opinion, the best midfielder in Europe. Definitely the most complete midfielder in Europe. Who's, like, really? Like, who? When you think of, I'm not saying, like, just goal scoring. Goal scoring midfielders, you could put Bellingham as the best one. Fine. I'm talking about complete midfielder. Nobody chats to him. Nobody.
Yeah,
oh, you're, I mean, thinking, he's got you're a actually lot. Trying to find someone that is offensive.
I'm trying to think. No, but he's got everything in his locker. Like, every name that's coming to my head right now is not.
Like, I'm trying to, like, guys that I would put, like, in the realm
Like, not I think there yet. I think Cruz has everything, but I don't. But I think Cruz, he's like, older Cruz is now.
Like past his prime. Yeah. Like, yes, I would have said Cruz for sure. I mean, he was one of my favorite players.
He has everything, but his legs are now, gone.
Yeah, but I would take Tony Cruz in this team tomorrow if he wanted to come. But anyway, like I'm thinking like guys who are active right now. The names that like pop in my head. Maybe like guys like Rodrigo De Paul. I think Camavinga has a little bit of everything in his game. I was going
to say Camavinga or Tchouaméni, but Tchouaméni doesn't have
Tchouaméni's more of a
final third. Yeah,
Tchouaméni would be a sick regista for us. I know he's not. I'm just saying, like, but Camavinga, I would put almost there.
Yeah,
I love Rodrigo De Paul, and I don't know, maybe Enzo.
Yeah. Enzo's, he's in the wrong team, but.
Yeah, that's without question.
He's definitely but complete. I think
he's got all the tools that you would want.
All right, 90 for Darmian, 69 for DiMarco, 77 for, And then Denzel and Augusto. I want to talk about Denzel. Now that this is very close to being wrapped up, and now that he is likely to be our candidate for big name sold this summer, are you of the mindset
kind of offensive that you use the words big name ahead of
him? Anyway. He's the big asset. He's the asset with the potential to bring back the most that we're willing to part with. It's a much longer way of saying that, but I think I got to it eventually. All right. Do you think the strategy should be showcase him or make sure he doesn't pick up a knock because we got to get something off this guy this summer? I would say showcase him. I'm trying to get the highest I can. And I think
would say
he can,
I would say it honestly doesn't matter because he's going to the Euros. So let's say he doesn't get hurt with us, but he gets hurt at the Euros, then.
Oh, that's true.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, I would try to, like, obviously showcase him. I think that's going to be good for us too, that he's going to the Euros. Because he seems to play better for his country, so this is like a perfect year to try to cash in on him.
Yeah, and let's say he beats up on Udinese and Cagliari, like, you know, boom. Not beats up on them, but gets a couple assists.
Assists in each game. What's up?
Yeah, and then we're finishing the season with who? I mean, Milan, Torino, Sassuolo, Frosinone, and Lazio. I mean, come on, bump this. Let me get.
I'll
40.
Be honest. The only game I'm worried about there is Lazio because Tudor looks.
Yeah,
like he's got something good there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't love the Guendouzi Vecino in the middle. Like, I feel like we can run that down, but it is a better team, I think, with Tudor.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick, if you're listening. Bastoni, Acerbi, Pavard. Let's talk about Acerbi. How did you think first game coming off of the... By the way, the ruling came down. No suspension, no fine, no nothing. It essentially comes down to evidence, and it's he said, she said, or he said, he said. You know, and they have nothing to go off of.
Did you just assume Juan Jesus's gender?
No. So, they said. And there's nothing to prove it either way. So, like, legally, you can't. I think there's been a lot of shit on Twitter about this that's just really, like, people not understanding how things work. Like, you're rooting. If you think that he said it, that's, you know, a totally 100%. You can believe that he said that. But at the same time, you can't be actively rooting for sentence to be given without any evidence. Like, you don't want that to happen to you.
That's like Interisti saying, oh, I want Juan Jesus suspended because there was no proof. You know,
it's very possible that he said it. And if he said it, that 100%. That's terrible and he should have been suspended. But there's no 100%. Proof of it. There's no evidence. So, like,
and the thing
don't
is,
start
like,
rooting for that kind of shit. Because that could happen to any of you where someone accuses something and there's no evidence and you still, because the accusation is there. Don't root for that shit. I promise you don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you think he played today, though? After all the hoopla around him, like...
He was okay. You know, I mean,
he's all right.
nothing. I don't know. I didn't see anything that was concerning. I didn't see anything that I particularly liked myself. Yeah, I was more impressed with the other two center backs personally. I think they played much better games overall. But I'm honestly struggling to find anything that even stands out positive or negatively, and I don't find anything. He was just there.
Yeah, he was just there. All right, we're coming up on the end of the pod, so we'll end here on the end of our time. So we'll end here, but next time through, I definitely want to talk about, there was some positional switching with Acerbi and Bastoni, and you saw Bastoni in the middle, which really makes you think, like,
really makes you think that Calafiori's coming in the summer.
Or, like, what does a back three look like with Bissek at left back? Because I've been saying this whole time, I'm not totally on the Bissek to center back train, because I don't want to take away the space that he gets on the outside being able to run into. But if Bastoni's going to shift inside, Bissek started his career as a left center back, or played all of last year as a left center back, then that's interesting. And then
you have Ricardo Calafiori. I mean, you saw that pass Calafiori that he had to Orsolini today. That was
wild.
I mean, chef's kiss perfection.
Yep.
I dream of four center backs being Bastoni, Bissek, Calafiori, and Pavard. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me dream.
Yeah. Quick shout out, Audero. Congrats on the clean sheet.
Audero,
we really believed in you.
Yeah, there was never a doubt.
Never a doubt.
We knew what you were bringing.
All right. 3 points for Inter, top of the league. Been able to say that for pretty much the whole season, and feels good to do so. We're getting close, guys. Eight games left. No Coppa Italia, no Champions League. This is it. League games right ahead of us, so let's enjoy it.
24 points left.
Anything you want to shoot out before we get out of here?
No. I was trying to think if there was anything else, any updates or anything that I had to do, but no, nothing as of yet.
Okay. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.